leave you orphans, I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live. You will live also. But that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. I will love him and manifest myself to him. These words were spoken by Jesus near the end of his life, and he was speaking of that time when his disciples would receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to be a very personal and close friend to the disciples in the absence of Jesus. For 1 year now, we've been nurturing the soil of our hearts with the messages and the life and teachings and actions of Jesus. And like a tree that has been nourished for a time, there comes a season when fruit is to be expected. There comes a time when the anticipation is all of our work is going to pay off. Our message today is about the fruit. The Lord wants to see evidence on the branches of our life. We're not talking today about salvation or how to be saved. We're talking today about fruit of a saved life. I hope throughout the course of this year, you have sat again and again at the feet of Jesus, listening to his messages, soaking in the beauties that he is. I hope you've come to know him personally as a Savior, because that's what he is. He is your Savior. He lived and died to save you. And you may have that hope in you. I hope you do. I hope that transaction called salvation has been completed for you. He's already done it. It's up to you to believe that it means something to you. It's time, though, to speak of fruit. As you read the four gospel accounts, you learn about what Jesus expects from us. The kind of things that is our part to do. Our passage today is one of those passages. In John 14:15, you read, "If you love me, keep my commandments." What comes first? Love for Jesus or obedience to his commandments? In this verse, it says, which one? Love comes first. It is the condition that must be met first. If you love me, then keep my commandments. Love for Jesus will always move us into obedience to his commandments. If we love him, we will obey him. There's no such thing as a Christian who does not obey Jesus. But it is also true that obedience is not the same thing as love. It is possible to obey his commandments and not love him. And I think this is important for us to understand. If we love Jesus, then yes, we will keep his commandments. But obedience to the commandments is not necessarily the same thing as loving him. You and I know people who obey God's commandments and have no love in their heart whatsoever. This was the problem of the Pharisees in Jesus' day. Very obedient to all the commandments of God, all the rules of man, or their whole life and religion was do, 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 and do. But when it came to love for Jesus, there was nothing in their heart like that. But if you love Jesus, keep his commandments. These words Jesus shared with his disciples were spoken to them on the night of the world's first communion service. Did you know that? John 14 comes right after John chapter what? Chapter 13, which records the first communion service, or what we commonly call the Last Supper, because it was Jesus' Last Supper before he went to the cross. In John 13, Jesus shares in the Last Supper with his disciples, washes their feet, shares in the bread and the wine, emblems of his broken body and spilt blood. Then in John chapters 14 through 16, Jesus tells them how it is that while he is leaving his disciples, he will abide with them forever. How can that be? How is it that when Jesus is so far away from us today, he's in heaven, however far away that is, how is it that he is with us still? And that's what these chapters in John are all talking about, how he will always be with us. He does this through the presence and power of his Holy Spirit. And in our verses today, we learn how to ensure that Holy Spirit will come to us, will stay with us, and will abide in us if we keep his commandments. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. So it goes something like this. Love for Jesus leads us to obey his commandments, which prepares us for the reception of his Holy Spirit, his presence with us always. So 2013, almost over. Another year has come and gone. We are 1 year wiser. We are 1 year closer to Jesus' second coming. This year, you have both made mistakes and made wonderful strides in your walk with God. But with 2014 fast approaching, a question needs to be asked. How will things be different next year? In our offering call, that was the question they asked, wasn't it? I didn't read that in preparation for this sermon, but it is our question. What will be different next year than this year? If it's true we're getting closer and closer to the day that God determines enough is enough, and he gives the command to Jesus, go get him, son, then it must also be true that we are to live as if we believe that. Our life is here in this world, but our hearts must be with him. Our life is in this world, but we cannot love the things of this world. We cannot love the ways of this world. We cannot love the habits of this world. We must love Jesus. And then loving him, we must obey him explicitly. Always, forever. In 2014, will we obey Jesus? Will we fulfill the conditions for receiving his Holy Spirit in our life? And then receiving the power of that Holy Spirit, how will that change the course of our year? Will we serve Jesus more? Will we attend church more faithfully? Will we love God in our tithes and our offerings? Will we say yes when given the opportunity to serve him or to train for his service? What are the possibilities open before us in 2014? Take a look in your Bible at John chapter 14. And verse 12, just a few verses before these that we've been reading. Take a look at John 14:12. as we try to answer that question, what are the possibilities open before us in 2014? This verse should blow your mind away. It says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also." And what? What does your Bible say next? "And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." If you haven't found John 14:12 in your Bible yet, open there. Read it for yourself. Don't take my words for it, because these aren't my words. Whose words are these? Jesus' words. Jesus said this to you. Jesus said this to his disciples. Jesus says this to me. "If you believe," he says, "you will do the works that I do, and greater works than these." I ask you, what are the possibilities in your 2014? As you think ahead into your next year, I think this verse needs to factor in somewhere. Because if we don't think after the thoughts of Christ in this regard, we will live a small, puny, insignificant life in the year 2014. But if we believe, Jesus said, if we believe, "He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." When you think of all the powerful things Jesus did while he ministered to us on earth, this promise is truly out of this world. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, this is what we should expect. Powerful Christian lives and ministries wherever a Christian is. I believe it was this passage in John 14:12 that Ellen White had in view when she wrote in the book Desire of Ages, page 250, "He who loves Christ the most will do the greatest amount of good." There is no limit to the usefulness of one who, by putting self aside, makes room for the working of the Holy Spirit upon his heart and lives a life wholly consecrated to God. She continues, "If men will endure the necessary discipline," I think women too. What do you think? "If men and women will endure the necessary discipline without complaining or fainting by the way, God will teach them hour by hour and day by day. He longs to reveal his grace if his people will remove the obstructions. He will pour forth the waters of salvation in abundant streams through the human channels. If men in humble life were encouraged to do all the good they could do, if restraining hands were not laid upon them in repressing their zeal, there would be 100 workers for Christ, where now there is one." Wow. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, the possibilities are endless for the good that we can do for Jesus. So, according to this passage, what is our role? What is it that we are supposed to do? What is the job that we need to do? What is the fruit of our efforts to be? We are to put self aside. We need to stop living, that is, for ourselves. We need to live our lives wholly consecrated to Jesus. We must remove the obstructions. There's something in our life in 2013 that's in the way for the full outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. Something that needs to be removed, and there's only one person who can remove that thing from your life. It is you. In 2013, there were things in the way in my life for the Holy Spirit to be poured out in limitless power. And so I have to grapple with the question, in 2014, will those obstructions be gone? There's only one way to determine that. You and I must remove them in our life. That is our work. Put self aside. Live wholly for Jesus. Remove the obstructions. That's our work. God's part is, wow, look who's made the way for me to work. He then cracks his knuckles, rolls up his sleeves, and gets busy in the life where self has been put aside. The life is wholly lived for Jesus. The obstructions have been removed. Make room for the working of the Holy Spirit in your life, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you in Pentecostal power. And then there will be no limit to your usefulness. Today, as you wash each other's feet and take part in communion, let it be a time of removing obstructions, removing sin, removing resentment, removing pride, removing self-importance, removing jealousy, removing bitterness. Let all this be removed. And then let Jesus in to fill that void. Be filled with his love, filled with his obedience, filled with his power, and the possibilities open to us will be endless. There is no limit to the usefulness of one who, putting self aside, makes room for the working of the Holy Spirit upon his heart and lives a life wholly consecrated to God. I hope that sounds like your 2014. On this holy day, in this holy communion, I encourage you with these powerful words of Jesus. May God bless you all as you become his, holy his. We're going to separate now for foot washing. And the foot washing portion of our communion service is held downstairs in the fellowship hall. Couples, there's a room for you in the kindergarten Sabbath school, which is just off of the fellowship hall below. And then, gentlemen, you can be in the fellowship hall on one side. And the ladies, in the primary classroom next to the kindergarten classroom. So we'll separate. I would encourage you to be back upstairs within the next 8 to 10 minutes.